Welcome to another episode of Rough Talk VR, a weekly podcast with in-depth game reviews, exclusive developer interviews, and the latest MetaQuest and virtual reality news. We join our hosts, the father-son team of D. Scruffles and Stratus today, as they spend another episode breaking down and discussing the world of virtual reality.
Hey, welcome to this episode of Rough Talk VR. Today we're joined again with the CEO of Combat Waffle Studios.
Never a dull moment.
The creator of Ghost of Tabor. We're joined with Scott Albright. This is technically the second time we've had him on Rough Talk VR, but we've talked to him as well on the official Ghost of Tabor podcast a couple times as well, Tabor Radio. If you haven't yet and you're a Tabor fan, you're missing out. Go check that out right away. But
I agree.
Today, again, we're joined with Scott, and big news. Last week, Ghost of Tabor was announced that it's coming to the official MetaQuest store. So this is kind of silly to do, but real quick, Scott, do you want to introduce yourself a little bit in case, you know, we've gotten some new viewers recently.
Sure.
In case they've somehow missed Ghost of Tabor as well.
Good luck.
Yeah, I don't know how, but.
I'm Scott. I'm CEO of Combat Waffle Studios. I feel like everyone either knows me, and if you do know me, you either like me or you hate me, but here I am. I'm the CEO of Combat Waffle. We make Ghost of Tabor, working on Grimm alongside Spoonfed Entertainment. And we're working on Silent North. So, I mean, it's an honor to be here again. And if you haven't got to know me yet, maybe you'll learn a little bit about me in this episode.
Yeah, I would agree. It's kind of hard to have ignored who Scott could be or is. So,
yeah, very quickly turning into a legend of the game. And the last year, you've even spoken at the Meta Connect. You know, you were on their panel for developers.
Looking forward to that next year as well.
I think
I'm hoping for a solo panel next year.
Oh, that'd be nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, like a whole presentation about like how we went from here to here. Like Breachers did something very similar this year. Peter, their CTO, and I'm hoping we get the opportunity to do the same thing since, you know, we did pretty decent.
Yeah, I mean, it's something we talk about quite a bit. If there's any studio that you could model for other studios to follow of how to market games, the path to take with utilizing App Lab, early access, beta. I mean, Combat Waffle Studios is drawing the blueprint in real time. So, I mean, geez, I hope you get the solo panel just for the educational purposes for the whole industry.
I hope there's a Q&A. As long as there's a Q&A, because I'm sure there'll be some amazing questions that would come your way, and I'd love to see that engagement.
So a big part of that, you know, what makes Ghost of Tabor special is the game itself. It's a game that people love. They want to play, but I mean, we need to be honest too. And Combat Waffle's marketing has been substantial. Like I said, with the pipeline that they follow.
Over 80,000 Discord members.
Like
83 plus, I think.
So not to put you on the spot, but since you're, you know, planning a little solo panel in your head yourself, do you have any tips for solo developers or studios in general to follow that? Look, these are some of the things that you can do for success.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. And I feel like it's the same points every time. I feel like I said it at the MetaConnect panel. I've said it on your all's podcast before in the past. I believe I've said it in other podcasts before. Make a game that people actually want to play. Stop making 5v5 shooters, period. There's enough of them. Do something interesting. And then on top of it, don't target like your giant creators. I feel like that's where a lot of studios go bad. They go out and they take their entire marketing budget and they spend it all on like 2 to 3 creators. And there's nothing wrong with creators like when you're to a certain size of studio, like paying Thrill Seeker, paying Bambeo, Nico Ortiz, Controlled Pairs. All these guys are amazing. Controlled Pairs is probably, and Nico are probably the coolest out of all of them, in my opinion, because they're both military guys and the brothers. So, and if I have to choose to work with anybody, it's those two every day of the week. But I think if you can do what we did, and we attacked TikTok strong, but when we had our alpha, we didn't let in the big creators like Thrill and all these other guys. We kept them locked out. I didn't let them sign NDAs. I didn't let them come in and test. I didn't let them play it. I brought in every single little guy, whether you had 0 followers or 20 followers or subscribers or whatever platform you're on. And I just let you play the shit out of our game. And then I unlocked it. And then I said, okay, all of you all can make videos now. And I let them do it for a month. And there was a new video being posted by the same person. They were posting new videos every single day, just flooding social media, flooding YouTube. Everywhere you looked, it was Ghosts of DeBoer on every VR creator that was little. And then it forces your big guys to have to cover it too. I didn't have to pay them anything. I didn't spend any marketing budget on them. And the beauty is, by saving that marketing budget, I was able to reinvest in my marketing team. And now that we've established capital and we have money now, now I'm able to pay those large creators what they want and still keep my cash flow healthy. For launch, like we are working with creators for paid, you know, paid for launch. You have to with some of them. I'm not going to go up to Nico Ortiz with, you know, millions of followers and say, "Hey, Nico, I know we're brothers and we're buddies and stuff. Could you do this for me free?" No, I'm going to pay them what they want. Same thing with Bambio and all these guys. Like Soul over at Combat Waffle, he reached out to Bambio, got him on board. Like Rekid, like these guys are huge. But you need to hit these guys at the right time. If you bust your nut before you're even ready to go, what are you going to do after you launch? And what if there's no sales? And you just spent $100,000 that could have floated you in your small team for 3 or 4 months until sales started coming in.
And you also want to, you don't want to shoot it in their hand when it's janky or anything either. Then they shit on it. You pay them to shit on your game? That's not right either.
Right, exactly. Like, there's people that have reached out and they're like, "Hey, they did one free video." And they're like, and this was early on. And we've came to terms and we're good friends now. But there's a creator early on. He's like, "Hey, I did this video for you." I'm like, "Oh, hey, man, thank you so much." He's like, "Now pay me to do more." I'm like, "You can fucking walk down the street and not pay me to do anything else. I didn't ask you to do the first one." So like, I think that's the problem is content creators. Yes, you deserve to be paid. But when a studio is small, and if you do not care about expanding VR as a whole, and you only care about that money in your pocket, you need to go play flat screen. Period. VR is not there yet. We're not ready yet. We're still getting there. It's going to take some time. I think before we can really compare ourselves to PC marketing and creator-wise, like where you can just studios, the creators just be expected to be paid by every single studio thousands of dollars. I think we're still another 5 to 10 years out, personally. Easy, if not longer, until something changes. Maybe the Quest 4, Quest 5.
I think anybody going into VR right now in any position, whether that's content creation, developer, trying to make a game, it has to be for the love because you love VR. Yeah. If you're getting in the industry right now because of the idea that you're going to make $100 million from it, in a year, it's the wrong industry. Like you said, go flat screen, go deal with bigger investments or whatnot, but you have to be getting into VR and putting in the time because you love it as a gamer. You know, otherwise you're going to be disappointed, you're going to get burnt out, and you're probably going to leave bad impressions on other people in the industry.
When does this episode air?
I was planning on either dropping it this Wednesday or the following Wednesday.
Okay, then we'll have 84,000 Discord members because you said it was like 80-something thousand. We're at 83,904. Like
83-something, yeah.
We're at 83,904.
It might be at 84 by the time we're done recording.
Usually about 1,000 a week.
A thousand? It hasn't slowed down. That's what's ridiculous.
No, it's stayed. It's still ramping. And I attribute that really to our creator, our media team, and the creators that do covers like Timeless and Tanavarian and Control Pairs. Like these guys have made their careers off GOT. And that's why we're going to do something special with creators in the future. And we're going to have some little dangly. Have you seen the fish UMP boss thing? The gun? The fish UMP boss from the church, the cultist? It's like it's a UMP, the Fin Ripper. It's got like,
I don't think I've gotten it. I've seen people in our Discord posting it.
Yep. So it's got a little charm that hangs off the side of it that is in Fish's avatar. I think we're going to partner with some creators in the future and do some of those charms to where you can put on guns for your favorite creator. And we're going to give that money to the creators.
Wow.
So take care of those who take care of you.
Ghost of DeBoer.
You can only eat so much bacon and drink so much bourbon.
And it should be said, too, some of these small creators that were given the opportunity to cover Ghost of DeBoer over the big ones aren't small creators today.
No.
So
huge.
In that time frame, they've now moved up those creator ranks. So it's given a whole bunch of people opportunities.
Yeah, Timeless. I forget what Timeless is. That dude's crazy high now. Like, his videos are wild. And he started off as nobody. And now he's just...
Right?
And there's so many marketing things you guys do as a studio that other studios don't do. You know, you referenced Timeless. I think he won your content creator of the year. But that's something I've never seen another studio do. Hold a creator awards just for their games. We were talking before the episode started recording, we were talking a little bit about merchandise, swag, stuff that other look at that.
Skill issue is the best slogan for a shirt.
If you're a studio, why are you not recognizing the creators? Why are you not selling merch? People want to buy t-shirts. People want to support the game in other ways besides.
Well, I think for some, it's a financial reason because of their size and they're scared to put money in certain areas. Just like marketing. It's like, clearly you have to market your product, but there are people who just don't want to put that money forward. And it's, you know,
that's
the end
beauty
of the
about
day,
my merch here. I don't put any money forward. Listen, here's a good tip for all the devs out there. If you want to sell shirts, go to a website called printful.com. It's print on demand. It charges you nothing up front. They drop ship it. They handle returns. If there's something wrong, everything. The margins aren't huge, like $3 or $4 on a shirt. That's what we make, but that's fine. It's all about marketing. It's not about that money. These shirts people wearing around sell games. Those games provide money for your studio. Like, go there, go to Printful, and they ship all over the world. They have printing facilities everywhere in the world. So it's like if someone in the UK orders, they get that shirt from somewhere in Europe. Canada, somewhere in Canada. US, somewhere in the US. It's everywhere, even in Australia, as far away as that is. They have their own facility for Printful. And you can do hoodies, pillows, mugs, t-shirts, hats. We don't get our hats made there. I get my hats made through Savage Tactical because they're just fucking badass guys. But like you could do so much and it costs you nothing up front to help push your brand. Printful. I've never given away that secret until now. Printful.com. Cool. So there I'll you go. That's all you get from me.
I'll drop a little one too. I mean, that's exactly what we do for the Rough Talk merch. We use a service. I looked at Printful and there's one that we use called Printify. It's the same shit though. It's all the
Printify,
same. And it's like you said, no money up front. You don't pay anything to upload,
but it lets you get your product out there.
Exactly. If somebody buys it, you front the $7, $8, $10, whatever it is for production, but you don't have to buy 1,000, 100 in each small, medium, large, store them in your basement, then it floods, then you have lost. It's not like that at all. You just, boom, sell it on demand. So and it's also kind of back to the timing thing. If you're a new game that just rolled out with no following, maybe don't want a merch store, but the second you have Discord communities, subreddits, online groups, it's like, hell yeah, it's just another avenue. And again, I've always been a swag guy. Like, I want to buy a game. T-shirts, I want to buy game hoodies and stuff, but a lot of times they're not available from studios. So I think it's a missed opportunity for a lot of studios, and a good example of where Combat Waffle is checking the boxes.
Well, and it should be noted that, if you're really paying attention, the marketing started from this with Combat Waffle early. It wasn't an after, it's not like we're releasing the game. Oh, yes, so now let's get people involved. It's like, the foresight to know we need to and get people talking about it before it's going to come out, in which this still continues to happen every day, just organically. It's become its own little, so it's all brilliant strategy if people are paying attention.
And look at the results. Just came out last week, so the game's going to launch on the official MetaQuest store February 8th, and it came out that, who knows how old this news, and we don't even need to get into that or anything, but it came out that Ghost of Tabor hit $10 million in revenue.
That's incredible.
On App Lab. Mm-hmm. That is...
Between App Lab and Steam.
Between App Lab and Steam, yeah. But it's a whole different animal when
still
it's on...
Still a nice nut.
Yeah. When it's on the official MetaQuest store, I think it's going to be a whole different animal.
I have a brilliant CFO, and I'll give you her projections for our first year, from March 18th to March of this year. And I can tell you our guy... over at Meta, who ended up being a really good friend of mine. They both looked at the numbers and did projections. And we actually did our projections based off of Pavlov, believe it or not. And we said we thought we would make between 10 and 15 million our first year out. That's how close she got it.
That's incredible.
How close she got. And then the Meta guy was like, her numbers are dead on. Like,
so do you anticipate the studio growing a lot without getting into actual projections and numbers and stuff? Do you anticipate some big growth when things actually hit the store?
It can go one way or the other, right? I feel like we've all... God bless it. Come on. I feel like I'm so ready to move offices on Thursday. You have no idea.
This is the old office still?
I'm still in the old studio right now. We move in Thursday.
Nice.
Is it going to go well? Absolutely. No matter which way it goes, it's going to go well as long as we don't have like servers on fire or anything like that. All signs point to things going great. But the universe is the universe, and whatever could happen, could happen. I want to say that we're going to continue growing, and estimated, you know, we have a number in our head of what the player base should increase to on day one, concurrently, which we believe will be around 10,000 players concurrent on the first day. But it could not be. It could be way less. That's our happy number. We're worried if we go above that, then servers are going to be on fire. So we're happy. Jonas is happy if we just stay at that or less. Of course, you know, as a CEO, I'm like, no, man, we need to go higher than that. I'm the CEO. But we're happy with those numbers. We've already done more than we ever thought we would do. Like, this could all stop tonight. And we have, I said it in, what did I do? I did a media interview the other day with the local Forbes magazine. And so I think every person, I would say every man and every woman, or every man, it was always the same, but it's every person, every man, woman, whatever you are, wants to leave a legacy. And a lot of that for our legacy, like your son is your legacy. My children are my legacy. But I think everyone at this studio, especially the young guys, we could die tonight. And the fact that we have touched 500,000 plus people's lives in a positive way, and we'll be talked about for years to come, long after we're gone, as a father of VR, this studio and this game. Legacy's there. I'm good. Whatever happens, happens, man. It's in the universe now. I put the energy out there. It's whatever the universe decides to do with it. So we'll see where it goes.
I got goosebumps from that one.
Well, I'm yeah, right? Well, I mean, well, it's true words. It's not like made up shit. I mean, that's just the reality of being a human. You want to be remembered for something. We all do. And it's truly, in my opinion, when people don't remember or you've left nothing, that's truly when you die. Yeah. Until that point, when, you know, people are still talking about you, you're as alive as you were when you were alive. It sounds corny, but
no. Well, that's the reason the photo's in the bunker still. Rivera, my buddy, that died of cancer a few years back, that I served with, most badass dude I ever knew. If something ever happened to me, I'm it. I was the last person besides my wife, maybe tell stories about him every great now and then if she thought to. But now everybody talks about him. Who's this guy? That was it. Legacy lives on. He's never dead.
Now that gave me goosebumps.
Yeah. Yep. And just to sum up what you said, it's true. I mean, no matter what happens next, Ghost of Tabor is in the VR history books.
Well, I will predict the universe is going to reward this. I'm actually more scared of server issues.
I was saying it the other night. I was like, whatever number they're projecting, it's going to be triple. I said.
Yeah, you did say that too. I'm like, triple.
I was like, whatever number they have in mind, it's going to be triple. I was like, they better be calling Amazon, whoever their web provider
is. The best part is Jonas is flying here. This is all happening on Saturday. Enfish is here. Proper is here. Soul is here. Ray is here. Z is here. Spoon is here. Spoon's environment artist Sophia is here. Who else is here? Orbital's here. Elijah's here. Fox is here. Like, we're all in the studio, in the new studio. We move in. Yeah, they come in. They come in on the 3rd and they leave on the 10th. So we'll all be together on the 8th in the studio working from this new place together with very limited computers. Let's put it that way. So like whatever is ready on the 1st, because that's when we're done, whatever is good on the 1st and given the green, that's what goes. So we have 3 days left to get it ready before everybody flies. So we're we're sweating bullets, let's just say the least. But I think the universe will be good to us. We try to do everything we can to be positive for the VR community and give back to the people that have supported us and are in the VR community. So hopefully it gets those positive vibes and it gives it back to us.
I have faith.
Oh, the energy level in that studio.
I can't see how
release day is going to be intense.
Not because they're being forced to, but I can't imagine anybody sleeping these last 3 days. Like, no, dude, I got one more thing to fix. I got one more.
We have so when we launched on March 18th and on App Lab, our publisher Beyond Frames, they had, when I got back from the launch party, sitting on the door in a big box was a package from some like liquor company, and I was like, what the hell is this? And literally everybody just left. I just drove home 3 hours. Proper D was with me, and I opened it up, and it's three bottles of Dom Perignon champagne. And it's like, congratulations. I've been holding on to those till the launch day on Meta. So everyone's going to be here together, and we're going to pop some Dom Perignon, and hopefully, only if it goes well, only if nothing breaks. Then after we fix it, then we'll pop the bottle of Dom Perignon. So
congratulations. I think it's going to go well. I understand waiting till it's done, though. Too. You know, we're getting some pizza after our showcase, our gaming showcase this Friday. But I'm waiting till after.
We're rolling big.
Not that's going to be pizza. Cool, too. I'm excited. Gaming showcase is going to be awesome.
Yeah.
Nothing nearly as cool, though, as seeing Ghost of Tabor
for our level in life. It's pretty good.
Yeah. I'm excited.
We'll actually be live on the QTC podcast live. Eric. Oh, that too will be here. Eric from QTC on YouTube. He'll be at the studio. He lives in Tampa, like an hour away. So he's coming down as well. So we're actually going to live stream that night from our new studio with Eric on the QTC podcast over on YouTube and Twitter and everywhere else he does it at. So it'd be pretty cool.
Now that's intense. Yeah.
That's going to be fun energy that day. Yeah. I can only imagine. A lot of hard work coming into reality here. And I mean, how did you decide on February 8th? I mean, I'm sure there's that part of you that...
It wasn't supposed to be February 8th. We were supposed to have an extra week. And I'll be honest, there's another game launching on February 8th or February 15th. And these guys need a win. And I'm not going to launch the same day as them and just crush them. As much as I dislike them, I'm not going to just do that to them.
You know, that's something that we actually talked about a lot on our last episode on Monday. Like, games can't release on the same day. Everybody's kind of losing like that.
Someone's going to lose.
Meta sells less games because some people that would have bought in both are only going to end up buying one. So who's really...
It was just an oversight by everyone's part. So we jumped on it quick. Maeva from Beyond Frames, because she is a fucking saint of a woman that deals with me every day somehow. she got on it quick, and Meta and ourselves figured it out, and we decided, hey, it's going to hurt us, but let's just move it forward.
Do you think that extra week was going to be needed, or are you still pretty confident with what's going to ship on the third?
No, so I'm confident. We're really, so what you're playing right now in live is what you're going to get on launch. That's it. There's no content. Maybe a couple small bug fixes, some crashes, some sort of back-end patches. But 2 weeks after launch, that's where all that content comes. But the reason it's 2 weeks after launch, it was only supposed to be 1 week after launch because we were supposed to go on the 15th.
Mm.
We need that extra 2 weeks to make sure these things are rocking and ready to go. And we're still in the VRC process right now. We're on the 28th and we're still waiting for green light. Like, this is how this process with Meta is. It's great, but it's very, very stressful and very detailed and deep dive. And it's hard. It's not easy. Even with a team of 34 people, like, I mean, of course we're split across three projects, but like, even with people like Ray, who you've met, and Victor, who we just hired is from a senior developer, and Patty and Elijah, like, and Zav, there's so much work being done right now by these guys nonstop to make sure, because we'll push a new build and we're like, okay, we fixed this, 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 and this. And they're like, great, let's keep testing. Like, we just found a way to break your menu system. And you're like, fuck. Like, oh, it's a VRC blocker. You can't move forward until you fix it. And you're like, fuck. So it's just like, it's a stressful process. But it's also a great process, because these guys go in and they do things that players would do, and they'd be destructful. They go in and purposely try to break shit. So it's a really good process, but it is a lot of stress, and it's a short time. And you have to work a lot of long hours, and you gotta miss some time with the family. But after this, I think everybody's gonna get a nice long vacation this year. So
It's well deserved.
Oh, I was thinking that before there was even a launch. I'm like, from when we say it, I'm sure everybody may or may not know it, but from start to finish, this has not been your typical developer roadmap for putting out a product. It has just been one of the most aggressive, full force. And we said it last week, like, I don't feel like there's ever really been a break. It's like, it's just been pushing forward, fixing things, adding more things while continuing to fix things, all for this, you know. And even in the store, there's still more coming. It's just, it's the ultimate in grind. But if someone really wants to see what hard work, treating the universe right, will do for you, I mean, it's a shining example.
And I'm somebody that always tries to be optimistic of everything. You know, I hurt my left leg. Well, now I get to make my right leg stronger. You know, there's always a plus side. So on the upside, there is a little benefit to releasing the game as is, dealing with that new influx of members versus dropping new content at the same time. So now you're dealing with bug fixes and overloaded servers. Now, you know, on the upside, now you get to at least deal with the new official store traffic. Get that all ironed out, and then a couple weeks later, drop some content. So maybe it'll work out for the best as is.
Yeah.
But it sounds like the game is still going to maintain kind of an early access beta tag. Is that correct?
We prefer the term live service now.
So it's kind of like a game that's not officially released, but still with a lot
released.
Of work.
Yeah, it's released, but it's live service and an active development.
And I imagine it was...
has a better tone than beta.
Yeah.
Because it's for not... For sure. Because it's not exactly beta.
No, at this point, it's winning game awards. It's winning game of the year from multiple awards. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's hard to call it early access at this point. So I do think live service is a much better fit title. But I imagine it was a big struggle of figuring out, like, all right, this is the point that the game's at, and this is where we want to release it, you know. What was that process like of figuring out, all right, the game's good enough, it's at the vision of what we want, to submit it to the store, versus I'm sure you always kind of want to spend, you know, more time fermenting with things. You know, what was that process like finding that Goldilocks spot?
I mean, if it was, to be honest, based off even how we're continuing to perform on App Lab every single day with sales and traffic, and I would stay on App Lab for the next 2 years. If it could have continued the way it's still continuing, even after the holidays, and before the holidays, App Lab's a great place. I really don't want to leave App Lab. I think it's the perfect place you could be. And I think if Meta would make it more, you have more eyes on App Lab and easier to find and search a title, even by, you know, you certainly have to be so specific to find titles on App Lab that it hurts a lot of developers. And I think if they could clear that up, which I've been told that they are working on a process when I was at Connect, that was something that they were aware of and it was on their roadmap. So I'd stay in App Lab forever. I don't really see a reason to leave it. Because when you lose that App Lab status, there are already people out there that hate our guts, right? And shit talk any chance they get. So it's only going to increase those people when it goes to store. That's my biggest concern. And that's what I love about games like Tarkov. That game is still in beta. It's never coming out of beta. That means they can continue to work on it, break it, introduce bugs, introduce new features that they want the community to fine tune. But I guess it's the same ring as live service and active development. So if there was an option to stay in beta and be on the main store, I would have done it. Well, we've been working on this since last June. This roadmap that we're on now to get to store. When I went to Sweden last June, which I'm going again to my publishers this June for a week, we've sat down and hammered out our roadmap in like 2 days when I was there with my team back here in the States, when I was sitting next to Maiva and Ace last June. So we've been working towards that for 7 months of just preparing our last 3 months of nothing but polishing and bug fixing.
And the game is solid. Yeah. And today, dude, I don't have bugs. I don't have any issue. It feels like an official, like a full, it's launched, not beta, not live service or anything like that. So you all have done a great job.
Thank you.
From where Tabor was, you know, 8-9 months ago to today, it's not even the same game. Mm-mm. You know, the loadout, the hideout's different. Everything's different in the game. So
everything.
And then new maps coming. So
huge. Man, wait till you play Underground. Oh my God, it's so fun.
So do you think that you like the underground version of Maka more than the above?
I
know it's hard to pick favorites or
rank. It's hard because the museum opening up on top and above ground Maka is in the church. Oh my God. So cool. So cool. They did such a good job. That museum is insanity. And if the boss spawns, it's even more insanity. But we connected them. And I'll tell you, there's a green key card now being introduced to the game. And you need to get that green key card from Maka to unlock something in old underground Maka.
That's genius. So now you're starting to connect maps together.
Yep. And those old school players, when you find what it is, you're going to walk in, you're going to be like, oh my God, they did it. You old school guys at underground Maka, you're going to walk into this place and you're going to be like, fuck, I'm home.
Oh, I'm hyped. I like the way you're teasing it. You're not telling us exactly what it is, yeah. But for any of the OG players, they're going to go hunting. First, they got to get the green key card.
Which is obviously essential.
Yeah. And in Tabor fashion, I have a feeling it's not going to be spawned every killer. It's going to be a tough find to get. And then once you do, then you got to find where to use it underground.
Yeah. Ooh. Yeah. So,
man,
underground Maka is just really tight. It's like a really... It's like silo, but just it's big. It's big. It's twisty. It's turny. There's subways. There's train cars. There's sewers. There's maintenance passages. Like, it's a lot of CQB. And you need to go in stacked to the gills and bring in something that isn't going to be knocking walls and stuff when you go to ADS. Like, John Wick MPX, that Terran Tactical MPX would probably be my go-to inside that map all day long with some AP rounds.
I love grenades. It doesn't sound like the map I want to be throwing grenades, I'll tell you that.
No, flashbangs would be great, which are coming. So,
well, kind of on that, you know, you would tease that 2 weeks after the store release, there's going to be some new content. Are you able to talk a little bit about what that content is?
Oh, God, what did I say? My team's probably cursing me when I made that post. Yeah, I think the coolest thing is probably flashbangs. It's actually when you see the flashbang, it's not your typical all black or all white flashbang VR kind of a thing. I feel like those burn your retinas out. If you do not have tinnitus in life, which is ear ringing, you're going to experience tinnitus. And it's as true as it gets to the sound of it. I have really bad tinnitus, and I tested it multiple times when I wasn't having ear issues, and I thought I was just having tinnitus issues in my head. Like, it's as real as it can get. But I made like this cool light blind image. Like, when you're blinking, you can see that light image in your face on a black screen that fades separately from the blackout of you getting flash and the tinnitus ring. You can't really hear anything. Everything's sort of muffled around you besides that ringing. Like, it's a very discombobulating experience, which it should be. And then I think the other cool thing, the NRSs will be cool. Spoonfed worked on those. So it's no longer like hold it and let it go and keep doing it. Now it's a hold. All right, it's done. Now I can start fighting again. It doesn't hang in your arm anymore. So we're trying to slow down your combat. Make you be more strategic in your fights. I have to think about things a lot more. It's going to be a lot more pressure, a lot more sweating, especially when you have to choose the right time to heal, which is something you do in Tarkov. You have to pick the right moment to heal. And shortly after that 2 week patch, there'll be some more healing items coming out, like a bandage wrap that not only stops bleeding, but maybe adds some healing effect too. If you don't have a nerd, you have a bandage wrapper. Maybe you have the Tarkov cheese where you can pop it open and stick it in your arm to get some small healing if you don't have a nerd or something like that. And then I'm excited about the character reconnect system. I hope it's going to be done. It's really close. So if you crash, you reconnect. If you come back, you have an option to join the game again that you disconnected from. That's a big one.
That's
as long
huge,
as you don't get
yeah.
killed while
that's...
you're disconnected. If you're still alive after you get disconnected, you can reconnect into your character. Everything's there. You're ready to rock. Continue your raid.
I used to always kill him if he crashed, so I won't do that anymore.
Don't do that anymore, yeah. But make sure you check the patch notes, because you may still get a couple more kills in if it doesn't make it. And I think the streamer camera That's a cool thing for a lot of the PC VR players. That'll be a really cool thing. It's going to give you a brand new way to create content around Tabor, steady cams, different angles, gun barrels, auto zooms when you ADS, your cameras. It's a huge system. And you can thank the wonderful tutorial guy. Proper had zero experience. This is what I love about our fucking team. When I met Proper, he did videos, but not in Unreal Engine. Now we bought him a full mocap suit, down to the fingers. There's a face tracking. There's a new trailer getting ready to drop where he plays a character and it's got full face tracking, mouth, eyes, everything. He speaks. And Proper sat down one day when I hired him and figured out how to do all of this originally in Unreal 5 with our early trailers. And then we were talking about a streamer camera. And one day he's just like, I really want to take a shot at this. And the code was going to be bad. We had to refactor the code. That's fine. But he sat down, and over the course of like a week or 2 weeks, he just made the streamer camera with the different camera options and the way to switch between them and the right angles for them. Like, he sat down and figured out how to do code in Unreal Engine in Blueprint form. And I think that's what my whole team, they're all fucking unicorns. Like, they're all amazing at what they do, and they all strive to better themselves in their workplace. And then we took a developer came in behind him and they refactored it and made the code more performant to where it would run on, you know, in VR. But that system, like, there's great camera game, like Streep, like Liv and all those guys are great. You haven't seen anything like this. And it's going to be amazing. The content creators are going to fucking love this camera. Soul and Z-Storm play with it every day. They test it and they fucking love it. They said it's the best streamer camera they've ever used. It's not like you can reposition it and hold way out here, but there's a chest cam, there's a helmet cam, there's different cameras on your barrel or on your back of your sight. And when you ADS, the camera zooms into your reticle or your iron sights, whatever you have on. Like, it's a whole thing that Proper came up with. And it's just a cool feature, man. And it just, again, it goes back to marketing. Now the streamers have a way to stream my game better, to push it to people. Because the shakiness of the camera now they have to use, of your player character, it gets with your head bobs and everything. It gets sort of, some people complain about getting sick when they watch streams. Not anymore. This camera's rock steady, no matter where it's at.
That's huge.
It's going to be cool. There's a new whiteboard with different color markers and an eraser so people can draw on their bunker. That's a cool one too. Yeah.
I am so impressed with the media team of Combat Waffle.
Oh no, they're
Proper, Z Storm, Soul, even, you know, Mr. Witty, your community manager. It's all rock stars. So as surprising as that is to hear that Proper put that all together, it's also not surprising.
Surprise you.
Yeah, as weird as that is. That's amazing to hear he's getting into that side as well. And that's another example of who knows where this team's going to be at in 3 years, 4 years, as their skills continue to grow.
Well, you know, it's crazy. You just said the magic word, team. Not one person we've spoken to from the studio
takes credit for everything.
It's shared. It's like everyone knows and acknowledges, and they seem to really respect the leadership. It trickles down from mm-hmm. Scott, and everybody does their part, but it's all part of a team. Nobody's saying me.
If one falls, we all fall.
Yep.
That attitude is why they're success.
They're a rare, you talk about unicorns. It's like Combat Waffle is the unicorn. So it doesn't surprise me they're made up of unicorns.
And since you're leaving App Lab and it's so dear to your heart, you mm-hmm. love it so much, do you plan on putting out Grim or Silent North through that same pipeline of starting in App Lab until it's ready for a full release?
I know Silent North is going to go that route unless I'm convinced to do otherwise by like Meta or the publishers. That's the route I want to go. It was also the plan with Grim, but Spoon made a comment actually earlier this week that he thinks he would rather just take it straight to store. I mean, his game is done. Right now, we're just working on the map. That's what we're waiting on, is the map. The game's been in development for 6 years. It's ready. Mechanics are ready. There's a fully working electrical system. There's everything. Turrets. I mean, it's done. It's done. I would like to go to App Lab, but I think Spoon just wants to release it straight to store and say, let's go. But he's a winner, so I get it. He has he wants to go in with a bang and just be like, I'm fucking here. And that's the combat waffle way, YOLO. That's all we do. You go big or you go home, and we do it together. And so far, he's ready. I'm pumped. I'm playing it. I've got it on my Quest right now. I'm already playing it on Quest.
Oh, don't even say that to me, dude.
Yeah.
I'll be bugging him when I go home.
Yeah, no doubt. He jumped in. I was in Discord before I came into the podcast. He's like, tell those guys I said hello. And I was like, why? He's like, just because I want him to talk about Grimm and stop talking about Ghost of DeBoer.
Every once in a while, Spoon will pop into our Discord. Yeah. And I fight everything to not be like, Grimm?
Yeah. Before we had two laptops, so I was using one at home. So I'd bug him at home a lot on Discord and just like, hey, what's the latest with Grimm? You know, I'll sign a verbal MDA, whatever I got to do. And then now we're down to one. So I only bug him on the air when we can. Nah, Grimm has very high hopes for myself. Selfishly, it's what I believe. I want to play in VR. I mean, I won't know till I get it, but
it's gonna be good.
I think it's just gonna be another example of crushing it. And then,
so it's fair to say that we can expect Grimm to come out before Silent North, or is that still up in the air?
No, that's definitely coming out before. I don't want to take away from like Grimm's launch, or Grimm take away from Silent North launch. So I think we're gonna space them out a little bit. We still have a lot to do on Silent North as well. So Grimm, like I said, it's been in development for 6 years. Spoon's been hard at it. So I think you will see an App Lab title for testing, like an open beta temporarily, probably in June or July for Grimm. That's what I'm hoping for.
If in 2020,
I was hoping 24. I was reluctant to even ask, like 24 or 25.
Yeah.
But it's like I was hoping that like people get a taste of it in 24 and then a release in 25.
I just want to see.
I want to say it's going to release before 2025 on store or on App Lab or store, either way.
I'm just anxious to see Combat Waffle with two games out. I want to see how big the studio can get. And I'm convinced that when Grimm comes out, it's going to be fucking huge. So
I don't
want
any more than 50 people at the studio ever. That's sort of my cutoff number. At that point, I feel, and I had this talk with my publisher. How big do you want to get? And I said, no more than 50 people ever. That includes like janitors, like ever. And the reason being is I don't feel like I can be connected to each one of them and get to know them. If it goes past 50 people, I want to be in the trenches with them every day. I want to be cutting up with them, joking with them, and them just get to know that I'm actually like a real person. I'm not just some dude that sits in his office looking down upon them. Like I'm there. Like I want to work. Like give me something to do.
And you're at 35, right?
Yeah, we're like 34, 35 now. Yeah, so.
Cutting it close.
And we're getting to hire a new DevOps person for Jonas that's going to be in-house and then on site here. And then I think we're getting to hire another accountant. So we're getting there. Yeah.
In a year. That's crazy. With one game out, two more to come.
Well, and it says a lot about Scott's character that he does not enjoy flying a desk in life. You know, he'd rather be part of the action, part of what's happening, make a difference than just sitting in an office.
You could hear how excited it was when he was talking about everybody coming to the studio.
Yeah.
It's like genuine freaking excitement.
Pumped. I bought a locally distilled key lime rum and a banana rum just for me and proper to have daiquiris together by a pool. I'm excited, man. I love every one of these guys. Like, I know I'm their boss, but at the end of the day, like, they're my buddies. Like, they're family to me. I'm pumped to see everybody and just be able to tell them all congratulations and give them a hug once we see it go live at 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Pacific on the 8th.
I wouldn't have picked Scott as a daiquiri guy.
I'm not, but, you know, you can't get proper tequila or weird stuff happens. So
that was a good call out.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't drink a lot. I'm about as straight edge as you can get. I don't drink. I'll have a cigar every now and then. I like to feel in control of my body. I don't like to feel out of control of my environment, and I want to be clear headed at all times. So this is my drug of choice. So Blueberry Red Bull. That's about what you get out of me.
Yeah, I'm not too much of a drinker myself, but I do have a soft spot for the occasional pina colada at a nice Mexican restaurant. And so that's a different animal.
Espresso martini, baby.
Yeah, an espresso martini is not bad here.
I won't lie. I feel important drinking an espresso, and I can, you know, sip it. I'm not going to chug it.
But caffeine, that's a different animal.
Yeah.
Caffeine, I'm pretty guilty on. Start my day with a couple cups of coffee to kick things off, and then a couple more throughout the day. And
we luckily have a beautiful relationship with Blackout Coffee, who are coming back into the game. The coffee machine's coming back. So, but we have a fucking pantry full of Blackout Coffee here.
So do you have a list in your head of like potential, I guess, merch partnerships or like brand partnerships that you want to eventually get to just as a fan of them?
Talking to ACOG, talking to EOTech, currently just did a deal with Silencer Co. to bring in some new suppressors into the game as well. Actually, we're getting suppressors. This is coming into the game in a new DLC. This Lever Action 44 mag.
Hmm.
It's going to be coming into the game. It's my personal. It's got a threaded barrel. It's going to have a Silencer Co. Osprey 45 on it. You can buy. But we're going to be releasing what I call the Eastwood pack. And it's going to be this Lever Action. And there's going to be a couple revolvers in it. It's going to be cool.
That's a badass looking gun.
Had the John Wick DLC, now the Eastwood DLC. I like it.
This is a great
that's
gun.
No joke.
It'll knock your damn shoulder off too. This 44 mag out of this rifle. It's
how heavy is that? Because it's not the way you're handling it doesn't look.
It's not bad.
Okay.
Pretty good.
Sounds nice.
Yeah, it's nice.
So on the subject of guns, one of us had asked Elijah who the best, it was me. Yeah, who the best shot in the house is, and we heard there's rumor of an upcoming. Potentially
I'm
shooting
smoke
competition.
Every fucking one of them.
Every one of them. Okay.
You're pretty confident on it. Not even.
Absolutely. Not a doubt in my mind. Elijah's talking all that trash, but I used to deer hunt. And yeah, so did I. Shot my first rabbit with a 410 shotgun when I was 5 years old. Yeah. Now, I think if anybody gives me a run for the money, it's going to be one of the veterans. So like Victor, who's a Marine Corps vet, who did some time with EOD. You got Fox, who is an Army vet. You got Witty, who's an Army vet, but he was in the band, so I'm not really worried about him either. Vex in the Navy, not worried about him. They don't have guns. They shoot paper balls at each other. Elijah would probably be like, Elijah or Spoon. They like guns. Like Spoon's an AK lover. Like, they could probably do really, really well, but like I'm not just gonna go to the range and just shoot. Like we're gonna go run 3-gun course. Like if we're gonna do it, we're gonna go to a course and we're gonna time it. And we're gonna go all out. And I'm gonna smoke these fucking dudes into the ground like they've never experienced before in their life.
I was curious what the format was gonna be, if it was gonna be like traditional, just you know, target shooting. Is it gonna be an actual run through course?
No, you're gonna
Will there be a sniper
hard.
Event?
You're going to breathe heavy. You're going to sweat.
No,
let's see how well of a shot you are with a deer when the deer shoots back and you got some adrenaline running at you, right?
I love this vibe, this feeling of just a bunch of friends hanging out. In the end, you know, you guys are coworkers. You
Dude,
know?
I'll tell you right now, you go to your target range. We used to go into the woods with duffel bag of weaponry. It is the best feeling in the world to kill a day just shooting.
Yeah.
I can't describe it unless you've done it. Of course, we were foolish, so we didn't bring like ear protection. I think we'd fire off a couple of 9mm rounds and then just use the
bullets casings. Yeah,
yeah, put them right in the ears. Like, yep. But the first ones, you know, you're going numb.
Yeah,
don't advise it. But going in the woods and or target range and shooting and having fun is nothing like it. Especially if you've got good weaponry.
Mm-hmm.
We were just doing, you know, a lot of pistols, shotguns, 22s.
Yeah, yeah.
No one had anything like fancy. No Texas weapons, I'll say.
And, you know, there's kind of something that a lot of companies fall victim of, that they always need to grow. They always need to do better. And I love this energy of just, look, we've surpassed all expectations. We're doing good. Whatever happens next, happens next. We've left our mark and we're happy. It creates a cool vibe. You know, there's not that like constantly chasing, hey, we did this much this year, we got to do more next year, and got to do more next year, and we got to get 100 people now, then 150. It's the opposite. It's like, dude, we did what we wanted
to
do.
Keep it comfortable and real.
we're successful, we're having fun.
I know if something would happen, or say I'd sell the company, or anything of that nature could ever happen, something would happen to me. Like, these guys could go out and get very successful jobs in the dev world. They worked at our award-winning studio. Like, they can show that work. Like, they are set. That's all I care about. But that's why I did the deal like I did with Spoon, and we're like publishing his game and helping create it, because I don't want all these guys to work for me forever. I want Spoon to never have to worry about anything, and his kid to be financially secure for the rest of her life because of Grimm. That's why I'm helping him bring it out. Like I said, you can only drink so much bacon, or eat so much bacon, drink so much bourbon. Like money's nothing at the end of the day. Like, as long as you have enough to keep a roof over your head and your fridge full for your kids, like, who gives a shit? Just be happy with what you got. So, and that's why I want Elijah to work on Silent North, and Reynaldo's working on his own like RTS game, like for VR. And like, we're going to be talking about, he's going to pitch that to me as soon as it's in a good spot. We're going to work on that. Like, I want my guys to bring me their ideas. And if it's a good idea, let's do it. Like, let's make it. Let's make sure you're good. Make sure I'll hire all the employees. You let me recoup that, what it costs for all your employees. I'm going to pay you to work on your game full time. You still get to keep a gigantic chunk, the majority chunk of your sales, net sales. Just let me recoup my cost. Other than that, I don't care.
I love it. I was actually even going to ask, like, did you internally cap the studio? Say, look, we got two games in the works. Well, technically three with Tabor 2. You know, no more, or is there going to be more? And it sounds like,
oh man, I'm working on two IP deals right now. Like, I'm ready. Like,
oh my goodness, I cannot freaking wait. And I need to talk.
That was my prediction too. I'm like, there's no way on God's green earth is there only three or four projects being discussed in that studio.
And I now have seven IPs projects too? On paper. Counting the three we have right now. Yeah. Oh, I guess there's only six on paper. The other one I just came out with, and we have not started talks. We've made the introductions, but we were getting ready to start on this. We've sat down and we're well into talks on one IP deal. It's huge. And the other IP deal we just started the introduction phase on. So Ace, our publishers, they're great at making this kind of stuff happen. That's why I'm with them for life. And I think maybe after that I'll be ready to stop. Maybe.
Well, let's see what those seven bring. Maybe it brings other ideas. Maybe. And
not all of them are going to be a success, right? Something's going to fail. I don't know which one it'll be, but there's a guarantee at least one or more of them will fail. So we'll see what happens. I mean, the biggest IP deal I think that should have been the most successful thing on the planet was Ghostbusters. And it was an absolute fucking flop in my eyes because it was done wrong.
Mm.
But like that could be me in a year, 2 years with something. Silent North could come out and be a giant flop. I think it'll be bigger than Ghost of Tabor, personally. But it could be a flop. I don't know. We'll see. Grimm could be a flop. We don't know what's going to happen. But I'm going to keep putting myself out there. I'm not saving any of this money we're making. I'm reinvesting every single cent. We have saved no money. Every cent has been put into new employees, new games, everything.
Hear that, Uncle Sam?
Yeah.
Net zero.
Yeah, exactly.
No. Leave me alone.
Jokes aside, I love to hear that. I love
the open honesty, but if I were, we talked on Monday Morning News that if people could invest into studios with their own money.
Yes, if Combat Waffle was a stock.
OM freaking G. It's like, yeah. I would take the risk that, you know what? Fuck that. I don't see a failure coming. I think you'd have to go out of your way to make something bad for it to be a failure.
And you sold me with real-time strategy. I mean, I've been screaming
for... like a StarCraft-esque kind of game.
All right.
I think. You'll have to talk to Ray again. Just DM Ray about it. He'll tell you what it is. But I think it's like a StarCraft-esque game. And he's pretty far along on it, from what I know. And he built it from after he saw what we did with Spoon the whole time. He works on it on the weekends, on his off days. Like, and that's what he does. He's doing the same thing. I think it'd be really cool. I agree that we need a Civ game. I absolutely agree.
Talk about it every
Civ
week.
Civ is one of my favorite franchises. But, yeah, I'm not a big RTS player other than Civ. I never played StarCraft.
StarCraft.
I remember the first like Warcraft games, like not the current ones, but like the first ones where you had to fight the goblins, and like it was like back in like the early 2000s, late 90s. I remember those.
Red Alert.
Red Alert, like Command and Conquer, like those kind of games. Like, so I know Ray's working on something, and VR definitely needs those things as well. And there are some out there, but it's, were they rushed? Were they done right? Was it the right avenue? Was it the right theme? Was like, what, why didn't that one pop? And that's something that we do a lot of research into whenever, before we go and start deep diving. We look at all of the competition out there. Like I even like Spoon, like what we're talking about, like a Sea of Thieves style game, but like more like Black Flag. Like we want to do something super cool with that. I know there's already like OpenSea or something out there that's really good. And I don't want to like step on that guy's toes, cause that's not the right thing to do, but like, so, okay, well, let's do you want to do a pirate game, and then let's do like a Black Flag pirate game. So there's a lot of ideas being floating around, man. Like I'm constantly brainstorming. Before Pal World dropped, I've already came up with a title, a logo, spec'd out our own type of little monsters in 3D in renders and rough sketches to where we take something that Spoon's worked on for a long time and we actually turn it into a real thing, like its own brand in VR.
Yeah.
I'll tell you, it's called Wilds of Kanto. That's the name that I've already secured, made the logo for, already sent out the trademarking on, already have four of the little creatures drawn up and like all three evolutions out of 200 of them. Like, it's something I want to do. I'm just trying to convince him. So maybe you all can tell him, and the community can tell him and convince him. Wilds of Kanto. That'll be cool.
Well, now that the name's out in the wild,
and there's been a couple Pokemon-esque projects in VR. I want to think, say, even Spoon was behind one of them.
He's behind one of them. Yeah.
It's a no-brainer in VR.
It's an untouched market.
But I think it has to be throwback. Right? It's got to be throwback, like from the Game Boy days of the red, blue, you know, and yellow. Like, I want that 2D style, which is exactly what Spoon's was. All right, cool. Now let's redo it. Let's remake it. Let's make our own universe. I think that's a killer game. It's gonna destroy whenever we do finally do it. It's just Spoon Spoon.
I think this is great for people to hear too, because I think some people have a vision that Combat Waffle only has shooters in mind and such too, but
hell,
this is
no.
Vastly different than...
It's totally different. I'd love to see the community build up, because I know each one's going to have its own community, but it'd be interesting to see that one.
Its own
like
market.
How cool
too.
Would a Dexter game be, like Dexter from HBO, where you play Dexter in an untold story?
Oh, I'd play that.
That's something I'm trying to do. Like, actively in my brain, I've got a script written out by a script writer that used to work on the show. Like, I've done all of this already, an entire storyline.
Oh, it was like such a good show.
It's a great show. I think it'd be super cool. I don't know if Meta would like it, plunging a knife deep into somebody's chest and cutting up into pieces and throwing them in the water off a boat. But hey, I think it'd be a damn good game.
HBO liked it, you know?
HBO
you
know loved it. I think it'd be a cool game, man. There's so much stuff that can be done if you're willing to take the risk.
Fuck, dude, I love it. It's gamers like...
Once Thief Sim came out and encouraged you to like basically home invade people, I was like, you can do whatever you want. It's like nobody's stopping you at that point.
That's true,
like, training you how to be a thief and what to listen for. And
I just love the concept of you like games or media, and it's let's reproduce it in VR. It's like that's... Yeah.
But again, giving people what they want, mm-hmm. whether they realize that they didn't want it or not. It's... Once you see it, you're going to realize, oh shit, I probably really wanted this. I just didn't know it because it's not something people are doing.
And what you're saying is that the stopping factor between us having a VR Pokemon game is us bothering Spoon enough?
Maybe. I've trolled him so much. I actually went through Printful. Not only did I print him men's underwear with the logo on it, I printed a t-shirt that his wife apparently wears around the house all the time. I even have a specced out, it's being made right now, a plush animal off of one of the little creatures being sent to his daughter just to fuck with him, right? Like just, it's that, we're that kind of studio. They're like, we're all that close. We mess with each other.
That's freaking brilliant.
That's awesome.
Dad,
I cannot wait for
it. Are you
going
to build this game for me, Dad? It's like, you can't say no at that point. You're doomed.
The wife loves the shirt. The kid loves the merch.
It's a great name. It's a great name. It's a mark. It's a great fucking name. Like,
we'll have to start talking about it.
Yeah.
And Monday we'll slide it into like every single Monday.
I feel like I say it every week.
Though. Even just, if we got to lie about shit.
I cannot wait to see where things are in a year, in 2 years, in 3 years. It's like the sky is the limit. Every time we leave this, I think that you've hit a new potential cap. And I didn't know that you were expanding into these type of potential genres. It's like, well, the ceiling was here. The ceiling's here now. I mean, it constantly goes up. Fuck.
If you're not willing to take the chance, man, it's the skill issue. And I don't have one of those. So,
but just to kind of, you know, wrap it up too, if you notice, each one of your ideas is something that hasn't been done yet. But it's something that's been proven that people like. It's just not been done yet.
It's not available. VR.
Yeah.
So that's huge.
I am anxiously awaiting release of every single project. Stupid excited to know I'll probably actually get my dirty paws on some Grimm this year.
Mm-hmm.
It's gonna be good, man. You're gonna like Grimm a lot.
Good luck on the store release as well, because unfortunately I'm pretty confident you guys are gonna get server and swamped.
Look, if the server shut down, it's probably good reason.
It's good stuff.
A bad and good reason.
You know? Yeah. My mentality is a little bit more of yours of like, well, shit, that's the type of problem you want to have that too many people.
It's a great problem to have, but it's also a problem that we don't want to ever happen. We don't want to interrupt. The problem with the DeBoer community is when servers go down, they get angry, and then there's like death threats and stuff that roll in. So it's like, it's one of those things. Like, let's not have this happen again.
Yeah, fuck.
I think everybody remembers the great shutdown of like June.
Yep.
The day it was like down for like a day. Like,
and I don't mean the DeBoer community. I mean, fuck anybody sending death threats. Come on, these are developers putting in.
Man, there are guys and people. I've got a guy every like once or twice a week. Like, sorry to keep extending the interview, but like once or twice a week, like he just leaves shit on my cars at my house, like cookies and stuff. Like, I love you, Scott. I've had him pull up and talk to my wife when she's out in our yard with our animals and my kids, like, and talk about loving the game. So guy was like recording himself in front of my house on my sidewalk in front of my house, like. And I walked him like, can I help you? He's like, hi, Scott. I love your game. And he jumps in his car and he drives away. But then 2 minutes later, he's across the street, like video recording and taking pictures in my house. Like, I was talking to the publisher and the stuff about it. Like, it's so much that we're getting like a gate and a fence around our house now because you can't get on a property. I don't like it. Like, I'm a homebody. Like, that's my place. That's where I want to be. That's where I'm safe at. It's like putting a dog in their crate, right? Like, that's where they're safe. They know that's where they can go to be alone and nobody's going to bother them. Don't come to my goddamn house, guys. Like, come to the office. Like, we're right there. Just come to the office. Just like, don't come to my house, though. Like, that stuff right there, that is probably, if anything ever gets me out of game dev, like, quicker than when I'm done with my timeline, it'll be that kind of stuff right there. I'm not a celebrity. I don't want to be a celebrity. I'm just a dude that enjoys video games and wants to make cool games for you all to play. But if you harass me at my house and harass my family and stuff like that, like, I'm going to walk. Like, it's not worth it.
The last dude's house I want to be showing up at uninvited, the harassing family.
Yeah. No, not a good move.
Just looking not saying that you would, but I'm just saying in general, look at the background. I'm not rolling up into people's houses.
No, like that. Like, and there's people that drive by and they're very respectful. If they see us outside, like, they'll just honk. That's cool. You can do that. I don't care about that. It's free country. But don't come to my fucking house.
Well, no, and if you're organically living in the area, driving through is one thing, but even just to take a whole detour just to be like, you want to see where Scott lives is a little much.
The electrician that just came and installed the gate, the electric for the gate, was like, oh man, my friend loves your game. I'll have to tell him where you live so he can come. I'm like, no, you won't.
Don't do that.
Like, what do you know? You don't tell your friend where I live. Like, we all live locally. I'm like, I don't care. Thanks for liking the game. Leave me alone. Don't tell him where I live.
It's
and
remarkable.
He came out two weeks later to put the electrical in and apologize for his comment. And I was like, dude, it's cool. Just, I'm getting a gate for a reason. You're here to hook me up. Don't tell more people where I live.
Yeah, it's amazing that it has to be said, but I've realized, I'm young, but I've realized in my young age that common sense is not common.
Well, you can't teach it.
No.
So listen, it's great. I'm glad the community loves us and we love the community, but there are boundaries that have to be set. But again, this is nothing I've ever seen in the world of VR. I've seen this in flat screen stuff, flat screen games, But I've never seen this in VR, and I don't want it to be the trend that starts for developers.
Mm-mm.
So let's kill it.
No, but you do have a, you carry a status as a
Hall of Famer at this point.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, it's almost, there's myth to it. There's some legend to it. And, you know, the house is sky. It's like everything, you know, and it's not even something, it just happened organically. But yeah, it's unfortunate when those lines do get crossed and correct, you're just trying to live your life.
Have some fun.
You have
make
a fam-
games.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
So
yeah, I agree.
Either that or there's going to be some stacked bodyguards standing.
Bring I just have Blackwater two. I just security. Have two protection dogs now. I just bought two protection dogs because of it.
Like, no, I mean, I get it. With I it would, anymore. I would be.
Yeah, to me, it's remarkable that it even needs to get said. Mm-hmm. You know, it's
but like you don't usually you. See that in gaming world. I mean,
no,
high tech executives. I get it. You know, Steve Jobs. You're going to follow him around because you see.
Yeah.
License plateless car, but mm-hmm. it's like celebrity stat. I mean, what are you gonna do? I'd hate to move. See you walk away from it. Yeah,
just move to an island somewhere.
Never get a bigger gate
again.
Now you see why Zuck builds the bunker in Hawaii.
Yeah,
and stuff.
Yeah, I heard about that. Yeah.
Hey, if I had the revenue, I would. You know, but that's
I'd rather
not the
be
case.
Out stacking bodies and hiding in a bunker.
Well, that goes back to your style of playing Tabor too. I go out trying to get the loot and the extraction. I think you're the opposite, trying to get the kills.
Absolutely.
So I think that'll extend to Apocalypse too.
Have we spoken to anybody from the studio that was like, no, I'm all about the loot?
Jonas, if I remember correctly, Fish said his goal is to make it out alive.
He's like, not a kill, just everything.
Yeah, his answer was, the game is make it out alive. That's my goal.
I want to say, like, what did Reynaldo say? I feel like Reynaldo sort of...
I feel like Reynaldo leaned more loot as well.
Okay. Yeah.
But I'd have to double check that one.
Elijah and I, though? No, total hunters.
Yeah.
Oh, total hunters. When Elijah told us his loadout, I'm like, oh, no, he's going and going to find somewhere to sit, and he's hunting.
I believe, actually, Elijah says there's no point in getting loot if they're going to get loot for me. And then I'm going
to let them pile it up in a nice bag for you to take out. You have to do zero work. It's amazing.
Two totally different style, like play styles, but both equally fun
same
in the
result.
Game.
Yeah.
Yeah. I consider myself a pretty low tier player because I can get out alive most times, but in the firefight, you know, I can fall victim. But I can get out alive. I'm a little weasel. Sneak through the shadows and shit like that. I'm good like that. My genetics made it to 2024 somehow. And it wasn't always by engaging in firefight, I'll tell you that.
That's
much.
That's great.
So Scott, thank you so much for joining us today. An hour flew by. You gave us some nice tidbits on what's
to come.
Oh, it's
never been slow talking.
Yeah, one of the coolest studios there is. Really breaking down barriers.
Changing the rules.
There's a reason that there's, you know, some things that you've seen in flat screen coming over to VR for the first time, whether that's even in some toxicity. The reason is that's because this studio is breaking down boundaries that, quite frankly, studios like Combat Waffle Studios will bring VR to the mainstream for good and bad. You know, there are some of those toxic crowds, but the point being, breaking down barriers. Absolutely. So thank you again for joining us today. To the listeners, if you haven't gotten Ghost of Tabor yet, I don't know what you're waiting for, but get it now while it's $5 cheaper. Price is going to go up at official store launch rate. That's correct. Up to $25.
Yeah. And then people that wanted the Founding Fathers all this time, they've been demanding Founding Fathers again. You're not getting the Founding Fathers again, unfortunately. But you are going to get the Independence Edition that will last for 30 days after launch on all platforms that will grant you free DLC.
Ooh.
It's a bit of an upgraded price, but and you get a special arm patch as well, like the Founding Fathers. It's just different. It actually has the Liberty Bell on it. And so it's as close as you're going to get to the Founding Fathers.
Yeah, the Founding Fathers Edition was one of my proudest editions, proudest purchases in VR I've made.
One of my most embarrassing purchases because I bought the middle one first and then was like, why did I do that? They can't be stacked and I know I need the last one. So I ended up buying the last one.
That's probably our second most asked question, that and when PSVR 2, those two. And so Founding Fathers never, but Independence Edition coming out, free DLC for life. Will last for 30 days after launch, and then it goes away forever until the next platform drops it, which would be Pico and PlayStation. So
I'm guessing PlayStation VR is coming soon. Just nothing to say on that.
This year.
Yeah.
Mid-year.
Could potentially float PlayStation for a while. I mean, I'm not being disrespectful to PlayStation. It's just their numbers have not been as drool-worthy as I think everyone hopes. But if they can get...
I think Breachers did well.
Breachers did good, for sure.
Yeah, we should.
There's a handful that did.
Breachers,
but this will do I think, phenomenal.
I think the Sony crowd will like some Tabor action, you ask me.
They're missing out.
So you're a busy man, Scott. You got release coming soon, so we'll let you out of here. But again, appreciate you coming on today. Again, to the listeners, go check out Tabor. Like, subscribe to the podcast, rate us 5 stars, all that good stuff.
Jump into that Ghost of Tabor Discord.
Oh, yeah. Ciao, ciao.
Take care.
See you guys.